And we turn for our text to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 27. Verses 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Well, we know we're going to die. Maybe we have known parents who've died, or brothers and sisters who've died. There's no getting away from it. And we hear the shooting of young children, even children who probably don't think there's any great need to think of death. It's such a long way away and they feel well. But nevertheless, children do die. We all die. Some live a long while. Some die in the middle of their life. Some cause a lot of heartbreak to children because their dad dies when he's 30-something. But we do all die. And hopefully someone will miss us. But if we do miss, then it's hard. Death is a thing that nobody alive has ever been through. So we don't quite know what to expect. Maybe we're a bit afraid. We know it means the separating of the soul from the body. Men are sometimes called beastly if they don't cultivate their soul. But they're worse than beasts usually. Men can be much more unkind and wicked and evil and cruel than animals if they don't look after their souls. Well, death is the separation of the soul from the body. And it is the expert field of God the Father, of God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They know how to do it. They know when to do it. But die we shall. And we read here that it's appointed to men. In other words, the Lord has made a date. He doesn't, of course, keep a diary, but if he did, our name would be written on a particular day, the time when he's long since decided that we shall die. He's appointed it. He's fixed it. It's not an appointment that we can break and decide, like we might about hospital, that we don't want to go. We've got to go. And we don't know when it is. And we shall be held to account for everything we've ever done or thought. Want that to grasp that. So it's appointed that we shall die, but afterwards, that's the trouble. Death isn't very nice, but afterwards is judgment. God's judgment. I never did very well at school. I did manage to get to university by the skin of my teeth. I managed to get degrees by the skin of my teeth. But I never did very well. Not at anything. When the Lord examines our lives, we'll all be misfits. We'll all be failures. We'll all be in a terrible state. Things we've long since forgotten. Things we didn't do and should have and did that we shouldn't have. All these things. judgment. It is appointed to men, that's men and women, boys and girls, once to die. They're not going to die twice. And that's just a little thing just to remind us that there are those religions who believe that you can have a different incarnation every now and again. If you did well as a tortoise, you might become a bird. If you did well as a bird, you might become a person. You've heard this sort of nonsense. If you do badly as a person, you might get relegated to being an animal in the next life. This verse puts the end on that. We die once. Never again. We are unique. We are just us. We are the only people. There's never been anybody exactly the same as us. And it's appointed to us. When that once comes, that we shall die. And as if that wasn't bad enough, after this, the judgment. Everybody will be looking. Do you know, one of the things people sometimes worry about if they've done wrong is that nobody should find out. I was an expert at this at school. I did things wrong, but I never wanted my mum to know what I did badly at school, so I never told her about the meetings where parents meet teachers. I was very bad at home, so I never wanted my parents to meet the teachers in case the teachers got to hear just what I got up to. After this, after death, judgment, there are so many things. And even if we think we've been good, when did it start? When you were 10, did you become brilliant? When you were 20, 30, all right. If you've been good since you were 10 up till you're 50, what about the things before you were 10? Can't do anything about those things that have gone before. Now, I've emphasized the bad because it's as you appreciate the bad that you may love what the Lord Jesus Christ has done so much the more. Notice what verse 27 begins with, and notice what verse 28 begins with. Verse 27 says, and as, and verse 28 begins, so. Precisely because we're going to die, so something else is happening. Precisely because we're going to face judgment, so Christ was offered. The Father knows that all those who believe in him, all his chosen ones, would never turn from their sin unless the Spirit moved them. The Bible says they were no different from anybody else. We were the children of wrath, even as others. There is no way that we could have escaped the judgment that follows death. But because the Lord, the Father, is so kind, as it's appointed to what man wants to die, so Christ, he was sent. He sent his dear only begotten Son. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent him. And Christ was offered. He became a sacrifice. It was the fulfillment of the picture of Old Testament sacrifice, which by the shedding of his blood on Calvary atoned for our sins. And his perfections are counted to us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. As it's appointed to die, and as after death, the judgment, so there is a wonderful provision. There is a wonderful remedy. There is something that is tailored exactly to our horrible position. Christ. And something that Christ did. Now we know he took human flesh. We know he was born of a virgin. We know he was fully God and fully man. We know that he could raise the dead and was raised himself and has gone to heaven. It's this Christ that has been offered or has offered himself as a sacrifice for each one who will believe in him. As it is appointed unto men once to die, this is the preaching of the gospel to all, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now, all men will die. All men will face the judgment. But the scripture says here, he doesn't say Christ was once offered to bear the sins of them all. The Bible says he was once offered to bear the sins of many. So here we are. There's nothing we could do about the sins even before we decided to be good. But most of us never did decide to be good, and we couldn't have succeeded anyway. We're in a position which we can't do anything about. We're dead in trespasses and sins. They're beyond number. We can't recall them. But Christ was appointed to bear the sins of many. Who are those many? Well, they're God's chosen ones. But how do they know they're among the many? Because they believe the gospel. Because they hear this gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ and they believe it. So they know that they are among the many, not the few. Jesus said there were a few that find it. It depends what you're making the proportion against. Few in any one generation, as Jesus was talking about. Many when you think of all the people of all time, all over the world. There are many millions of citizens of heaven. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now that is a tremendous, tremendous encouragement to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can see from that, can't you, how people can take Christ for granted unless they're conscious of their sins, unless they are aware that they've offended by their actions a mighty God. Unless they're concerned about the curse of mankind, which is sin. And unless they're very concerned, lest when they die and when the judgment comes, there will be things made plain that they'd even forgotten about, to say nothing of everything else. How wonderful that God has provided Christ, his only begotten Son. And he bears the sins of many. Now, Jesus must have achieved on the cross what he set out to do. He didn't die for everybody, that if they decided to be saved, they could be. In other words, he didn't just die for anybody who happened to want it. He died. And he succeeded in dying for those who would put their trust in him. In other words, the elect of God. And these are the many. And we seek to make ourselves among the many. We can only do it in the sense that we know we are of the elect when we believe the gospel, when we turn to him, when we seek to beseech the Lord to take away our sin. And realize what a cost it was to him, how we do not deserve to be delivered. But nonetheless, he does deliver. Nonetheless, he does love. Nonetheless, he didn't count it too much to go all the way to Calvary, that people like us should be forgiven. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. In the olden days, of course, the priest died and they offered sacrifices every year and indeed every day. But Christ once offered himself on the cross at Calvary, and there, once and for all, he paid the price for all the sins of every individual one of his people over all time. Even before those sins had been committed, he knew exactly for whom he was dying and exactly for those sins for which he was paying the penalty. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That's wonderful. But there's something exciting too. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many and unto them that look for him. Now, those who've been saved, those who've been pardoned, those who've been delivered, those who are loved by the Savior, those who are accepted by him, they look for him. They're excited to meet him. In the war years, of course, when dads were away for a long time, and if mum knew that dad was coming back, she would be at the station to see him coming back. She longed and thought about that moment, couldn't get it out of her mind. And when we've been saved, we long to see Christ. We don't only long to see Christ, but we long to see him in the glory that he didn't seem to have when he was on earth. He was humanly humble, and they ill-treated him. But when he returns, he will be King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, the same many that have been spoken about, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, well, we've been saved, we long to see him. We long to be among that number who will sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," because he's taken away our sin. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. He'll appear in glory, as we were hearing this morning. He'll appear and the whole world will know him. But we look for him, and he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What does that mean? He never did sin. He never had sin. Ah, but he had our sin. Our sins were laid on him. But when he comes again, they've gone. Our sins will have utterly vanished. He'll come without sin. The sins of all his people will have long since been paid for on Calvary. He'll appear the second time, or how we long to see him. But our sins won't be there. They will have gone. He won't look at some as inferior to others. He'll have saved the sins, whatever they were, of all those who put their trust in him. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, we're already saved. The meaning here is the other use of the word salvation. When we're taken up from this world beyond the reach of any point of sin or evil, the fulfillment of our salvation to go and to be with him in glory. Now, what a wonderful thing this is. We deserve death. We certainly going to have to face judgment after death. But the Lord gave Christ, his only begotten Son, and he bears the sins of many, of all those who will believe in him. Isn't it worth putting our trust in him? Isn't it worth throwing our all upon him, trusting him absolutely? And when he comes again, well, we'll be there. If we're not alive on earth when he comes, our souls will come with him and be joined to the bodies that have long since decayed. But unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without our sin, without the sins that he bore away, unto salvation, and we will be taken into the eternal realm to dwell there without sin for evermore. May the Lord bring on our hearts that wonderful provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to take away even the sins which are our characteristic. Amen.